Hello and welcome to episode number 78 of the Product Biz Podcast. Today we are talking about managing your inventory to actually make a profit. And we have special guest Sierra Stockland on the show with us. So inventory, when we talk about the raw materials that we have, the finished products that we sell, is most likely the biggest expense for almost every single physical product-based business out there. And you know this. You know that when you make money, you got to turn around and you got to buy more raw materials. You got to buy more ingredients. You got to buy more things to make your products to be able to sell your products. And your inventory, not only is it one of the biggest expenses that we have in our business, it's also one of the most important factors on if we actually make money or not in our business, which is solely dependent on how much we charge for our inventory, how much we charge for our products, our pricing. So with so much importance on our inventory for both the expenses in our business, but also the profit that we can make in our business, this is a topic that isn't talked about enough, which is why we have special guest Sierra Stockland on the podcast today. Sierra helps businesses use their inventory to create more profit and keep more cash. She's owned and operated businesses since her early teens. She's a serial entrepreneur, and her business mindset and tenacity really has led her to opening her first store in 2006, which she then franchised. Then she was able to grow an experience in retail and wholesale, which led her to launch a wholesale subscription box for boutique retailers, which she built and sold within 18 months. And now she launched the Inventory Genius, a coaching program specifically for inventory-based business like you who's listening right now. So let's bring her on so you can hear all about inventory and how to make it work for you. Well, welcome, Sierra, to the Product Biz Podcast. I'm so excited to have you as a guest here today.
I am very excited to chat with you.
Oh my gosh, we just had a fun conversation all about Etsy on your podcast. And now I'm just so excited to have you here to learn more about you. I was just saying how I've seen you and your book all over the place. And I'm just selfishly excited to learn more about you. And I know listeners are feeling the same exact way. So tell me just about yourself right off the bat before we dive into your book and everything inventory based. So just introduce yourself.
That sounds good. Well, yeah, my name is Sierra. I'm a born and raised native of North Dakota, but I live in Nashville now. We finally escaped the winters. But born and raised in North Dakota, third generation entrepreneur. So I've always been around small business, and it was very natural for me to just decide that small business would be my career as well. So I opened my first retail boutique in 2006. Built that and franchised it. We also had a wholesale division, a really large warehouse. I would buy and sell overstock. So I've touched a lot of inventory in the last 20 plus years. And when I sold my brand to one of my franchisees and moved into my next venture, I decided that I would be the in-between man and connect wholesalers and retailers. And so I launched a subscription box for boutique retailers, built that and sold it within 18 months. And then from that, started really meeting inventory-based businesses all around the world, actually. And so launched the Inventory Genius coaching program. And that is what I do now. Take all of the mistakes I've made and all the lessons I've learned and help other inventory-based business owners use their inventory now to create more profit and keep more cash.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And look at that, just a resume of different experiences and businesses and everything that you've ran. That is so cool. So tell me a little bit more about when you had your own inventory-based business, because essentially you had multiple, right? So you had your boutique, you had your warehouse, then you had a subscription box. So you've had multiple different inventory-based businesses, which is basically you had a product that you were selling, right? Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about what were some of like the biggest lessons that you've learned, because I feel like you're just a wealth of knowledge. So growing these different businesses, anything particular comes to mind in terms of hardest lessons, biggest lessons, things that you just scream from the rooftops to others who are in the midst of what you learned previously?
Yes. Yeah, there's a few things. I think one of the biggest things that I did not understand for many years was that it's more important to be profitable than to be high revenue. So we hear everywhere, I want to be a seven-figure business. I'm a multi-million dollar business, multi-six figures. We love to hear these terms and throw them out. We love to brag about that, right? I reached the $1 million mark. And we often look around and we see our competitors, maybe another manufacturer, or a wholesaler, or maybe a boutique down the street. You know, they're on Instagram, they're on socials, they're talking about, you know, I just hit X amount of followers, I'm a $1 million store. We have no idea if they're, and most likely they're not, paying themselves, if they're in a lot of debt. we don't know anything about that. And so we strive for this top line revenue instead of really setting a profit goal as our benchmark and striving for that. So that's the biggest thing that, you know, and I talk about this in my book, Inventory Genius. I was always pursuing sales and not pursuing profit. And so when I learned to do that, it made such a difference. So I think that would be the number one thing. Second is that anyone that's listening that sells products, which I know all of your listeners do, inventory is your secret weapon, but you have to understand how inventory directly affects cash flow. So we feel like as inventory or product-based businesses, the inventory is kind of like this, its own little thing over here. It's something we get to make and it's so much fun, or we get to go to market and we get to buy all the things. And then over here is our business. When in fact, the inventory and the business are completely intertwined, and we have to understand how they work together to create profit and to keep cash in our business.
Ooh, I love that. Okay. So two things I want to ask you. When we talk about how inventory really affects cash flow and reflects cash flow, what are your thoughts? Because this is something that for me with plant-based beauty, I was very particular on not having a lot of SKUs, because I was more on the train of thought of, let me become a master marketer with the 10 SKUs that I have and really learn how to talk about these, connect with people about them, email, have great email copy that people are purchasing, Instagram content, Etsy, selling on Fair, getting into stores. So I was very much on like the marketing brain of, I don't need to have 20 SKUs, 30 SKUs, 40 SKUs to make an impact. I can have 10 SKUs and just go all in with those and really learn how to sell them. But what happened to me, and this is where I want to know your feedback, is I got to that realization after coming out with a couple of new products and being super excited about it. And then I got some sales initially. And then after the hype died down, I was like, oh my gosh, that, okay, cool. That was great. But how do I recreate that? And then I would think, okay, it's time for another new product. And then yes, you get on this hamster wheel of new products and new products, which I stopped doing because it was tying up all my cash and tying up all my time. So yeah. I would love to know your perspective, and I'm just going to leave that super open-ended, but what do you think about that?
Yeah. So I like to give this illustration. So I am not a beer drinker. I just don't like the taste of beer, but I love a glass of wine. Okay. And I'll drink like a margarita. I mean, I like a good cocktail. I just don't like beer. And a couple of years ago, we went to Notre Dame Stadium for a concert, and we walked in, and, you know, it was a date night, and I thought, well, this will be so fun. And then I thought to myself as I walked in, I will have no treat, because unless I want a Diet Coke, like, I just don't want a beer, until I turned the corner and I saw a vodka lemonade stand. So I was like, perfect, this is the drink for me. So I got in line, which was a very, very long line, and I watched the process. And I thought, I need to remember this for my coaching clients. And so I've repeated this story many times. So I'm in the vodka lemonade stand line, and as I'm making my way through, I'm watching their process. They have one person that cuts the lemon. They have one person that adds the vodka. They have one person that throws in the ice. They have one person that rings it up. And it's just this machine of pushing us through the line and making a purchase. They sold one thing. They did it really, really well. And they did not care that they didn't have beer. Because yes, they knew that there were plenty of other vendors there that sold beer, and there were plenty of women just like me who didn't want to drink it. And so I think as inventory-based owners, we often think, well, I have to have this, and I need this size, and I have to carry that brand, and I have to have all of these options, or I'm going to miss out on sales. When really, if we could become that vodka lemonade stand where I have to believe their margins were fantastic, because they bought massive amounts of one thing. They had a lot of efficiency, so very little waste. And they spoke directly to the customer who they wanted. And there were plenty of us. The line was super full. So as inventory-based business owners, it's so important for us to understand, like, who is our avatar? Who are we serving? And it's okay to not serve anyone. In fact, if we try, we'll be nothing to anyone at all. So just really hone in and then find a product or a service or a combination of those things that appeals to that person and do it really, really, really well. So that's what I talk to my clients about all the time, is be that vodka lemonade stand, like, have that mentality when it comes to your inventory.
Yeah, I love that, because I mean, I learned the hard way, but once I learned that lesson, it was like, no more new SKUs, the 10 that I have. And I love that analogy that you said. And I can totally relate to that too, that people just, I think people have this fear that they're missing out, that they're going to have more sales, that if they had more SKUs, then people would be buying more items on their website. But I love what you said of you can have one product and do a fantastic job at it, and you're going to be perfectly fine with that. So yeah. I think that's just beautiful insight for everyone listening, because I think there's that hamster wheel that happens where we get on that and we come up with new products. So tell me a little bit more about how you said that you really shifted to focus on profit instead of sales. So do you want to share any guidelines that you have on how to find out the profit of your products, or how to figure out the selling price of your product? Because I know with inventory, with having a product, that's a big part of it. You have to be making money, because if you're not making money, like you said, cool, you could be selling a ton. But if you're selling a ton at $10 each and you're making zero or a dollar, then that's not really helping anyone, right? So tell me more about profit sales and your guidance there.
Yeah. So I remember when my financial profit strategist, I guess for me, this was toward the end of the retail part of my journey. He sat me down and he said, Sierra, just because you buy something for $5 and sell it for $10 does not mean you have $5 left. You have to pay to turn the lights on. You have to pay for your people. You have to pay for it to get here. Like, he listed all these things. He said, in fact, you might have a negative amount left in the bank account. You might be left with nothing at all. And that was the first time I really thought about that. So I hear a lot, especially amongst retailers, small retailers, where they'll say, I mark everything up 3 times, and they're so proud of that. And while I'm really excited that you're not just marking it up a time and a half or even two, what ends up in your account at the end of the day? Is 3 times markup enough? Because you might buy 6 items, you mark them up 3 times, but you only sell 3 for full price. The other ones get marked down. So what do you actually end up with in margin? The best way for me to help clients find where their profitability is or is not is to really show them how the financials work. So just stick with me here. I promise I won't make it super boring. But in a financial set, which often we don't want to look at as business owners because we're like, we're not numbers people and I don't understand it. It's important that you don't play store with your store any longer, and that you become the boss of your business and know just the fundamental numbers. So we have 2 pieces of paper essentially in a financial set. We have the profit and loss, and we have the balance sheet. And your inventory lives on the balance sheet. So the balance sheet is just going to give you the health of your business in a snapshot. How much do you own in assets, like cash or inventory or equipment, and how much debt do you have? That's all a balance sheet is. What do I own in assets, and what do I have in debt? The profit and loss is going to show you if you're profitable, typically month by month. So you're going to have your sales at the top, and then you're going to have your cost of goods sold, which is not the inventory that you purchased this week. It's actually the cost of the inventory that just sold. So if you had $10,000 in sales, what was the cost of the inventory that left your place of business to make the 10 grand? That's your cost of goods sold. The difference between those two numbers is your gross margin. And that's going to be the first big number you need to get really comfortable with and really familiar with. It's your gross margin. So my sales minus the cost of those sales is my gross margin. Then underneath that, you have all of your business expenses. And that's what my profit strategist was talking to me about. Like, what does it cost to turn the lights on? What does it cost to employ your people? What does it cost for marketing and advertising and travel? So you have your sales minus the cost of goods, which gives you your gross margin. Then you subtract what it costs to run your business on the day-to-day. And the difference between that is your profit or your loss. So in order to understand if your business is truly profitable, you have to know those 5 numbers. And here's something that's super interesting if you're an inventory-based business. In the profit and loss, the P&L, of those 5 areas, those 5 business area or money areas, 4 of them are directly tied to inventory. So your sales is tied to inventory, your cost of goods is tied to inventory, your gross margin is tied to inventory, and ultimately your net profit is tied to inventory. So if you don't understand how your inventory is affecting your profitability, you can never really get ahead in your business. You're always going to be chasing sales and chasing sales and just stressing out about cash flow. So that's where we really want to focus, is that profit and loss and what's happening with the numbers as we continue to subtract down the P&L.
I love that. And when you talk about numbers and when you talk about everything that goes into your business, all of your expenses, everything that's being spent, not only for the cost of goods, but to run your business. If someone is going through an exercise like this and they realize, holy smokes, I should increase my prices. And then they start to kind of worry about that. And then they're wondering, what are people going to think if I increase my prices? Are people going to be receptive to this? Do you have that come up with your clients frequently? And if you do, how do you walk them through that type of exercise of increasing their prices and actually being okay with increasing their prices?
Yes. That is probably the number one pushback I get. And usually it's in the form of like, but my competitor sells the same thing and everyone will buy from them. Sometimes I'll hear, you know, I have MAP pricing, so there's certain things I can't, mark up. We still can challenge that because there's other ways, you know, that you can bring other items in. So what I do is just take them back to the numbers. So if we sell $10,000 of inventory and we have a 50% margin, let's say, so it's cost of goods is $5,000. So we're left with a $5,000 gross margin and it costs you $5,000 to run your business, then you're working for free. So we don't want to work for free. So we have a couple levers we can pull. If we're a little bit nervous to raise pricing at the beginning, let's first look at increasing our sales. Is there something we can do to increase our sales volume, or can we decrease our expenses? Because if we could sell $12,000 worth at a 50% margin, so now we're left with $6,000 and it still costs us $5,000 to run. Now we have a profit of $1,000 just by increasing our sales. Or we keep our sales the same, but now it only costs $4,000 to run. We still have a profit of $1,000. So there's three levers. We can pull the margin lever, which is increasing pricing. We can pull the sales lever or the decreasing expenses lever. So we first look at that because that seems a little bit more doable, like not so scary. And then as we start to play this numbers game, it gets really exciting. Like, oh my goodness, I found $1,000 in profit in just 30 days, Sierra. Well, what's next? What can I do? Okay, so let's look at your pricing. What can we do? So let's say you do have a business where certain things are MAP pricing. Like you don't have a lot of room on that, right? You have to do what the manufacturer says. What other products do you have where you could increase the prices in those departments? Do you have certain categories where you're buying way too much of this low margin product because you just love it, you're emotionally attached to it, and maybe we could decrease how many units we have of that. We could increase high margin product, or we can just pull the Band-Aid off and look at increasing pricing. So I had one client, I had the pushback. We had worked on operating expenses. We worked on sales. So we're ready to tackle the product pricing side of things. And she was very scared. I'm going to lose all my customers. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to mark up everything in your store. She had a boutique store by $1. That's it. Just $1. Can you do that for me? Absolutely. So she marked all her items up, everything in the store by $1. That's it. And we came back after 30 days. And so I said, how much did you sell? How many units did you sell? You know, and so she told me the numbers and I said, okay, so I can't remember, let's say 5,000 units. You made $5,000 extra just by marking things up $1. And did people even notice? No. So we can start small. So Monica, like if we are really scared, we're really hesitant, start small, pick one category, change up your mix a little bit, mark things up by just a little bit, or you can just, you know, you can say, hey, I've been leaving margin on the table. I'm going to mark it up a little bit more. So we have lots of ways to slice and dice it that aren't super scary. We don't have to go in and just like completely overhaul pricing. We can do things in small increments too.
Awesome. And one thing that you said too is also decreasing expenses. So one question I want to ask you, do you notice that if there's a particular place where people are spending a lot of their money where maybe they shouldn't be, are there any common gaps or maybe not gaps, but any black holes that you notice of like, okay, here's a really big expense and maybe this is part of the problem?
Absolutely. So first of all, people. I know we, you know, you and I work with smaller businesses, so we probably don't have massive teams. People do not like to have courageous conversations with team members, whether they're 1099s or W-2s. We don't like to challenge people. What we love to do as small business owners is to complain to all of our business friends like, oh my goodness, every time I come in, she's sitting behind the counter. She's always on her phone instead of dealing with the problem. So then what we do is we way overspend on payroll because now, well, I have to staff it with two people because so-and-so doesn't do a very great job, right? Or she's not efficient or she doesn't take initiative. And so often what we're spending on either 1099 contract help, like with vendors, people maybe that help us with social media or whatever that might be, or our employees, is way too heavy. So we go in and look at like, how can we be more efficient with our people? How can we put right people in right seats? How can we create a better schedule? That's an area. And then I think marketing, because people do not measure their return on investment. They're like, I'm going to try some Facebook. That didn't work. Now I'm going to try this. That didn't work. Or I'm just going to put money after it. And this isn't always for customers or clients who are low on cash flow or in a lot of debt. This can happen when you're doing really, really well, because a lot of money's coming in. And so we just spend it. We're like, well, I have the money. I'll just hire the person and I'll do this and I'll do social media and all the things. Instead of saying like, here's my initiative. I'm going to track the return on investment. If it's not working, I'm going to tweak it or I'm going to get rid of it. So those are the two areas I would look at first, marketing and people.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one thing that you said to elaborate on too, especially with marketing, is looking at metrics and understanding, okay, I'm paying this person, if it's someone who's doing marketing for you, I'm paying this person to post on Instagram for me. What are their actual metrics of success? It could be sales, it could be engagement, it could be new followers. But if there's no metric at all, then you can just be paying someone to do a bunch of posting. And is it really helping you? Is it not helping you? Who knows what's actually happening from it? I think this is really interesting too, when people really start to just step more into that manager role of, if you have people to understand what those metrics are that they're responsible for. And then something that I've heard, which I love, is then the metric actually manages the employee, because now you have a metric that they're tied to, and that helps them to know if they're on target or if they're not on target versus just showing up and doing whatever. So I love how you said that. I love marketing and people and just stepping more in that manager role and understanding who's working on what and why is it being worked on and how is it impacting the business, which I think is just so impactful.
Yes, cool. For sure.
Well, I would be remiss not to ask you about your book. So tell us about this book, what's in the book, what inspired you to write it, all the fun information about it.
Yeah. So the Inventory Genius book, super easy read. It takes about 2 hours to read or to listen to. There's an audio and an ebook version as well. And I just wanted to take my client success stories, the framework that I use in the Inventory Genius method, and my own story and weave it together in a way that would be practical and give bite-sized actionable tips to really any inventory-based business. I've had inventory-based business owners that are grossing $14 million and those that are just starting out that have all read it. And there's something or multiple things that really help them out in it. So it just weaves together the conversation of, how do we look at the numbers? How does inventory play a role in our business? How can we improve profitability? How can we pay ourselves? How can we pay off debt? But it brings it through story, because I think all of us can read something and say, oh my goodness, that is so me. Or, oh, it's so nice to know I'm not the only one who did this or the only one who missed this. So I'm really transparent about my own story. And then we share a lot of client wins in the book as well.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Where can people find the book?
So really easy. You can find it on Amazon or at my website, sierrastockland.com. And like I said, all three versions. I'd love to give all of your listeners a free Audible version if they'd like one. So I will get a link to you that you can share with them. I'd love for everyone at least to listen and just see if there's a couple practical things they could take and implement right away. So I'll make sure to get you a link so everyone can have that free copy.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I'll put that in the show notes. I'll send it out via email. I think that is awesome. And just speaking with you for the last 30 minutes, you can tell how much knowledge you have on these topics and how this is so critical for small business owners. Literally can make or break have you working for yourself for free or actually starting to make money and being able to grow your business. So I encourage everyone listening to take up that incredible offer and listen to the Inventory Genius book. So Sierra, just let us know, where can people find you online, on Instagram? And that's what we'll wrap up for today.
Yeah. So you can find me at my website, sierrastockland.com, and then on Instagram at Inventory Genius.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sierra, for taking the time, sharing your insights, and thank you for being a guest here on the Product Biz Podcast.
Thank you. I'm really excited to get to work with you even more. You are also a wealth of information. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.